One of the advantages and disadvantages of having a father and a father-in-law who both preached, grandfathers who were active in the teaching of the congregations that they were a part of through the years, a wife, mother, mother-in-law, and all who teach, you accumulate a lot of books and a lot of papers and a lot of files. And I say advantage and disadvantage because there's a lot of good material. The reason I have two filing cabinets in my office is because there's material in there that I don't want to turn loose of. I might need it someday. But the disadvantage is you've got a lot of stuff, and some of it you don't know whether it's useful or not. Some of it you look at one time and then you put somewhere else, and it's 6 months later when you find it again. And on top of all that, I've got books that I'm looking at for other people and all those sort of things. And I say all that because our lesson this evening comes from one of those pieces, one of those resources that we have at the house. And I received it, my wife made a copy of it, and I got it, and I've been looking at it off and on for about 6 months or so now. Maybe it could possibly be a couple of years I've looked at it, I'm not sure. I can't keep track of time that well, but it's one of those things that you look at, yeah, that would be good, but I've got this going on, and it laid off to the side, and I found it again the other day, and I thought, I need to use that because it's useful, and I think it is important. There's some points that we make, that we're going to make and look at in this lesson that I think are important for us to consider, especially as we look at our responsibility to God to teach the Word. That's going to be the point of what we're talking about in this lesson. The main import is we have a responsibility to teach the Word, and there are some things that we need to have in mind in order to be able to do that. And so this lesson falls in line with some of what we've been talking about in our Bible classes and other lessons as well. Our lesson is coming from Acts chapter 10. And I know when I say Acts chapter 10, most everybody thinks, oh, Cornelius. And Peter, and yes, that's right. It'll be a little bit different take on looking at Acts chapter 10 than what we normally do. Certainly we recognize the story of Cornelius and the conversion of the first Gentile to Christianity through the teaching of the Apostle Peter. And all the things that led up to that are things that we find in the book of Acts in chapter 10. And certainly those are useful to us, but I want us to consider some things that we see in Peter and Cornelius that I think are some things that are necessary for us to be able to make a difference in the world. I think following their example and considering some things about them can help us with that. And the first thing that we want to know is what we see in the very beginning of this chapter, in particular in regards to Cornelius. We read in the first four verses, there was a man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household and gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. About the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come in and said to him, Cornelius. And fixing his gaze on him and being much alarmed, he said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now, we could go back and read some similar things about the Apostle Peter. We know how closely the Apostle Peter walked with the Lord as he was here upon the face of the earth. The Gospels tell us those things, though he did have some failings that we've talked about in the past. Peter loved God and wanted to be near unto God. And I think that's one of the first things that we notice. When we want to do something that's going to make a difference in the world, when we want to be used by God to help Him in His cause, first and foremost, we have to be someone who is walking very closely with God. And that's what we see about Cornelius in these four verses in the first part of this chapter. He wasn't a Jew. He didn't have the mandate, we might say, that the Jews had. He had not been raised up in the Lord as one of God's special people. He didn't have the history of Judaism behind him and all of the temple service and all of the sacrifices and such, but still, to the best of his ability, what we see here in these four verses is Cornelius was striving to walk closely to God. And I think that's one of the reasons that he is the one that we have this record of. I don't know what other Gentiles were doing at that time. It may be there were thousands of folks who were just as devout as Cornelius. But the example we have here is of a man who was chosen by God because he was close to God. And I think the same thing can be said of the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter was one who walked closely to God. He was the one who stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached the gospel to those who had crucified his Lord and Savior, some of the very ones that he had denied the Savior to just a couple of months earlier. He was active in the preaching and teaching in the city of Jerusalem, in the temple. He was one of those who stood before the council and received rebuke and then said, I'm going to go and do this anyway. And then prayed to God, give me boldness so I can keep on doing this. And we read in verse 9 of chapter 10, on the next day, as the men from Cornelius were approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. A couple of things. These two men are known as being very spiritual, and it's evidence in the fact that they seem to have regular time to talk to God in prayer. Peter was not praying to God at noon because he was sitting down to the table to eat his lunch meal. He went up to talk to God because he had time set aside in which he could do that. Much like Jesus from time to time set aside time to go and be with the Father. These men walked close to God. If we want God to use us in His service, we're going to have to walk close to God. That means we're going to have to be in the Word. We're going to have to fill our minds with the Word. We're going to have to be praying to God. We're going to have to talk to God about our needs and our concerns, about our weaknesses and about our strengths. The more time we spend talking to God, the closer we're going to be with Him. And the more likely He's going to reach out and use us in accomplishing His goals, for use one of our terms, in the world today. God used Peter and Cornelius because they were men who walked closely with Him. God cannot use those who do not walk with Him. If we're not spending time with God, how can we possibly expect Him to do anything with us in changing or making a difference in someone else's life? Our first responsibility to do great things and make changes, making a difference in the world, is to walk with God. Closely related is these men were obedient to God. Look in Acts chapter 9 and verse 32. Acts chapter 9. And verse 32, now as Peter was traveling through all those regions, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. You might read that and think, well, there's not much there, but understand what Peter was doing. Peter wasn't just on a vacation trip. He wasn't just on a safari walking around through those regions. Peter was going from place to place preaching the gospel throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. He'd been doing that since the time of Pentecost. And he was still doing that. What we're seeing here, that is, while he was on that journey, he came to the regions around about Lydda and Joppa. Peter was obeying the directive that Christ had given to him and the rest of the apostles to go and teach all nations the things that I've commanded you. Go and make disciples of all nations. Spread the gospel throughout the world. Peter was busy doing that. We also read in Acts chapter 10 and verse 8. After Cornelius had received the instruction from the angel of the Lord, note what he did. After he had explained everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. He did exactly what he was told to do. These two men were useful to God not only because they were walking closely to God, but because they had a predisposition to be obedient to God. That was their first reaction. I think sometimes the reaction of many to obey God is somewhere down the line. If I don't have this going on, and if this is not happening, and if this doesn't get in the way, or if I had better health, or if I had a better knowledge of the Word of God, I would go out and do exactly what God tells me to do. That doesn't seem to be the attitude of either Cornelius or Peter. Now, we don't know what kind of instruction Cornelius had received from God. In particular, we do know that God had law for all mankind. And it seems that Cornelius was being obedient to some instruction, maybe something along the lines of what the Jews had been teaching. Maybe he was familiar with some of those things, and he was following them to the best of his ability without becoming a Jew. But we do know what directives Peter had, and we see him fulfilling those things. In fact, as we continue to look through the book of Acts in chapter 10, we find the Apostle Peter time and again in this particular account, hearing instruction from God and doing it. Verse 23 through verse 25. He invited them in and gave them lodging after the men from Cornelius came. And on the next day he got up and went away with them. Some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day he entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and he called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter raised him up, saying, "Stand up, I too am just a man." Then again in verse 28, he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or to visit him. And yet God has shown me that I should not call any man holy, unholy, or unclean. That is why I came without even raising an objection when I was sent for, so I asked for what reason you have sent for me." Peter said, when God said go, I went. Why? Because his first response was obedience. No objections, no concerns, I hope this doesn't get in the way. But simply obedience. They were willing to listen to the instruction of God and take action upon that instruction. The changes that we see coming about in this chapter, and as a result of this change, the changes we see throughout the history of the church, are a direct result of the desire of both Peter and Cornelius to obey God. Obedience is absolutely essential if God is going to use us to make changes. You see, these first two things, without them, we will never make changes for God. We have to walk closely with Him, and we have to obey God. We cannot accomplish His goals if we're not taking action upon the instructions He's given us. Disobedience makes us useless to God, and we'll never make a difference. And as with many lessons, I suspect some of y'all, if you've given thought to it, you're thinking, well, Dan already knew all that. I've studied the lessons of Cornelius and Peter. I've been in the church for a long time, and I recognize and understand that what we've got to do, if we're going to let God use us, is we actually have to be used. We've got to know what God wants us to do. We've got to be familiar with Him, and then we've got to do what He tells us to do. So you're telling us stuff that we already know. Yes, I am. And like the Apostle Peter, I'm going to continue to tell you stuff that you already know to make sure that we all remember it. But we also need to recognize the need to reach outside of our comfort zone. In fact, particularly if we want to make a difference for God, we have to be ready to reach out to people who are outside our comfort zone. And I think we see an example of exactly that in Peter and Cornelius. Neither one of these would have been inclined of their own accord to associate with the other. Cornelius, not only a Gentile, but also a Roman soldier, was not going to associate himself with a rebellious Jew. And that's how he would have been seen. Peter was a rebellious Jew. Peter, being a Jew, raised up according to the law of Moses and all the instructions and commands that are contained therein, would never of his own accord have associated with Cornelius. Not only is he a part of the conquering empire that's taken over and keeping us from being the great nation that we ought to be, but he's a Gentile. In fact, that's exactly what we see when God gives him the vision on the housetop of Simon the Tanner there in Joppa, the latter part of Acts chapter 9. You remember Peter went up there to pray in verse 32. We read a moment ago, and while he was praying, a vision came from God. You remember the sheet let down from the four corners filled with all manner of beasts. And the Lord said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "Not so, Lord. Nothing unclean has ever crossed my lips. I would not defile myself with unclean things." And the Lord said, "What I have cleansed, don't you call unclean." And just to make sure he got the point, three times. To prepare Peter. And we read in verse 43, Peter stayed many days with in Joppa was a tanner named Simon. These things were preparing him for taking that journey to Cornelius' house. And I said verse 32 of chapter 9, actually is chapter 10 and verse 9. I'm getting ahead of myself there for just a minute. That vision that Peter received on the housetop of Simon the Tanner's home was a culmination of things that Peter went through at the instruction of God in fulfilling God's plan for spreading the gospel. Peter was not just in Jerusalem and Judea. He was in the regions of Samaria. I didn't get a map to put up here because we've seen the map. Lydda and Joppa are not near Jerusalem. They're over near the seacoast, in fact. Peter was moving out among the common people, among the Gentiles even. He would have come into more and more contact with Gentiles the more he moved that direction. And as we pointed out when we were studying from the book of Acts a couple of years ago we were in this part of Acts, he was staying in the house of Simon, who was a tanner. That means he worked with leather. That means he worked with dead animals. Carcasses. Don't take much reading back in the book of Leviticus to find out that handling carcasses was unclean work. So what we see is a progression of Peter as he moves further and further out of the central Judaism area and exposed a little bit more. Peter is moved out of his comfort zone as he goes about preaching and teaching the gospel. And then ultimately, he receives the vision from God telling him, "It's time for you to step off." Maybe we don't see it like this, but it's almost the same sort of command that was given to Abraham. Maybe not, certainly not exactly the same, but almost the same sort of thing that God gave to Abraham when he told Abraham, "Abraham, you leave the safety of your father's home and you just take off going the direction I tell you to go." He was stepping out of his comfort zone. Cornelius stepped out of his comfort zone in reaching out
to Peter. As we read a moment ago, Peter said, you know it's wrong for Jews to associate with you. But in order for God's will to take place, in order for that to be accomplished, both men had to step outside of that which was comfortable and normal to them. And I think this is one of those keys to making a difference that we need to give a little more consideration to. I know I've been guilty in the past, much more recent past than I might like to admit, of saying all the people I talk to, nobody wants to hear the gospel. But when I look back at the ones I'm talking about, they're the folks that are pretty much in the same situation in life that I'm in. Somewhere close to what we might consider middle class. I'm not reaching out to people that might be in a bad situation that they need to do something about. I'm not stretching beyond my friends and my neighbors as much as I ought to, especially. And that's the reason I say this is one of those keys to making a difference, to fulfilling the commands and regulations that God has given to us to spread the gospel to each and every creature on the face of the earth, that we maybe need to pay a little more attention to. Maybe we need to reach out to the folks that are in a higher bracket than we are socially. But I will tell you, experience tells me you probably won't have much more luck with those folks than you do with the folks that are in the situation you are. Because we pretty much got everything that we can take care of ourselves. And I say that because I've met so many people that their response seems to be, I can take care of myself, I don't need a God. But what about those folks that are hurting, those folks that are suffering, those who are less fortunate than we are? Are we reaching out to them, or is that just a little bit too uncomfortable? We need to be really willing to step outside of our comfort zone and reach out to those that may not be in the same general class that we are in. Cornelius was a large step outside of the comfort zone of Peter, just as Peter was a large step out of the comfort zone of Cornelius. But because they were walking closely to God and they were of the attitude, if God said it, I'll do it, their commitment to God overruled their training from society and their upbringing. And we need to reach out beyond those that we're comfortable with. We need to be committed to God in such a way and to such a manner that we will reach outside of what we might consider our safety net to seek those who may be needing God. All mankind needs God. Takes us to our fourth point. We may be seeing a trend here. We need to look for those who are seeking God. Or as some would word it, we need to look for those that God is reaching or softening. We tell that parable of the soils, parable of the sower. He went out to sow. We talk about those various hearts, the wayside where nothing will grow, the rocky soil where it'll grow a little bit, but it gets caught up. The thorny soil, and then the good soil. And we say that good soil is good soil because it's been prepared, it's ready to listen. But are we looking for those that have had their hearts softened? I'm very cautious in the ideas I want to put forth here. I don't want to put forth the wrong idea. But we know that God is still working in the hearts of men.
things happen to people that cause them to have questions and concerns, that cause them to seek and search. Are we looking for those sort of opportunities? Or are we waiting for someone to come walking through the back door for services one Sunday morning so we can teach them? We need to be looking for those who are seeking God, who are looking for answers. We talk a lot about the evidences of God that we find through creation. But are we keeping our eyes and ears open for those that have been convinced by the evidence that there is a God and now want to know who God is and what He wants them to do? Certainly we can see God's hand in the workings of bringing Cornelius and Peter together. And I'm well aware that what we see in the book of Acts oftentimes is a miraculous nature of God working among men as He did in the first century that He does not do today in the same manner. But we all believe in the care of God. We all accept the teaching of Christ in Matthew chapter 6 where He says we need to not worry about the things that we have in order to survive. We just need to focus on doing the will of God, seek His kingdom first and His righteousness, and all those things will be added unto us. We believe in the providence and care of God. We believe that God is working in the world today. I don't understand all how He works. I don't have to in order to believe. I don't understand how He made the universe, but I can still believe that He did. The question is, though, am I acting on that knowledge and that belief? That there's people out there that are looking for the gospel. It means we're going to have to step outside of our comfort zone. It means we may have to do more than study our Bible class lesson and come to worship services and Bible class and sing and pray and remember the sacrifice of the Savior. It means we may have to pay attention to more questions than the outrage of the day that we see on social media. We may need to watch around us as we go through town. See where there might be places where there are people that are looking and people that are concerned. Cornelius asked God, and God answered him by telling Peter, here's a guy that needs you. Are we missing opportunities because we're not paying attention and looking for those that are seeking? And finally, with our five keys, in case you hadn't noticed, based on the word world, but just as valid, we need to disregard the criticism. This gets back to what we talked about this morning a little bit. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. We need to learn not to pay attention to the folks that would say, don't do that, because I don't think it's right. Now, if they've got a scriptural objection to what we're trying to do, then, hey, we need to take a close look at it. We need to consider it strongly. But just because folks are criticizing what we're doing doesn't mean we should stop doing it. And you know, that's exactly what happened with Peter and Cornelius. They were criticized. Now, we don't have much record about what anybody said about Cornelius. But I don't think it takes much of an imagination to get some ideas of what his Roman cohorts might have had to say about him calling on this Jewish fisherman to come and talk to him about how he ought to live his life, where he ought to give his devotion. And we know for a fact, based on the revelation of Scripture, that the Apostle Peter received criticism. When the Jews heard that the Gentiles had heard the gospel and been obedient to the will of God and had been baptized and been added to the church, Do you notice what they did?
Go over there to chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, verse 1. Now the apostles and the brethren who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. And when Peter came to Jerusalem, those who were of the circumcision took issue with him. Wait a minute. Cornelius and his household were saved and added to the body of Christ. And what happened is Peter got fussed at because he went over there?
Yeah. You see in the rest of the first part of chapter 11 what Peter did. Basically, he said, God told me to. So I'm not going to worry about what you have to say.
We're going to receive criticism.
There are examples in our own society, in our own time, of those who are stepping out of the safety of what has always been done, who are receiving criticism from sound brethren because of what they're doing. Sometimes it is warranted because they've stepped outside the bounds of the law of Christ. But other times it's just they're doing things different than what we've always done, and therefore they shouldn't be doing that. I mean, if we want people to come to services, we need to do mail-outs, don't we?
We need to put an ad in the paper. Put a bigger sign out front. Have a fancier building.
If we want to get people to come to services and hear that, if we want to convert people to the truth, we need to get them in the building. How many times have I heard that? And so, when someone starts taking the word out there, sitting in the coffee shops and doing Bible studies, walking through the less savory parts of town, asking people if they're interested in studying the Bible, handing out tracts in the areas where there are a lot of folks who are making do with what little they have. That's outside the bounds of what's normal,
of what's thought of as safe and the way it's always been done. I hate to tell you, brethren, but I can pretty much assure you that a lot of the way we're doing things today is not the way it's always been done. It may be the way it's always been done in this country, but it's not the way it's always been done. Again, let me put this. Yes, there are some who are doing things outside the bounds of God's law, and they need to be rebuked. We need to deal with that. But we need to learn not to be stopped by criticism as long as what we are doing is in complete agreement with God's will and God's plan. Because Peter and Cornelius disregarded the criticism of others, they were instrumental in fulfilling God's plan that all mankind hear the gospel. From this point forward in the book of Acts, we find Gentile after Gentile after Gentile after Gentile hearing, believing, and obeying. And by the time we get to the end of the book of Acts, what we find, instead of a whole church being Jews, we find entire congregations of nothing but Gentiles. All because Peter and Cornelius walked close enough with God that they were willing to obey whatever He said just because He said it. They were willing to step outside the bounds and reach out of their comfort zone and take advantage of the opportunities that were before them, and they refused to be deterred by the criticism of others. Most of us want to stay in an area of comfort and not rock the boat. Yet it is often by going against the grain that we actually see true growth. Not against the Word, but against the common thoughts and traditions of men. We can make a difference. We can make a difference in the world. We can make a difference in our town. We can make a difference in our community. We can make a difference in our congregation. More importantly, we can make a difference in our own lives and in the lives of others. But we need to be willing to do whatever it takes in order to do that. This lesson is not saying that the things we have been doing are in and of themselves wrong, or that they're failings. They have been successful, and they will continue to be successful. There are certain things that we must continue in. But let's not leave off something that we might could be doing because it's a little outside of our box. As long as we're still inside the box God gave us, we're still inside His box. We've been given the leeway. Remember we said this morning that when Jesus told the apostles to go, He didn't tell them how. He didn't tell them who other than everybody. The specific part of that command was teach my commands. Pretty much beyond that, it's left to them. We do have some examples that we have to follow, some restrictions that are laid upon the church as a whole that are not laid upon the individual. But just because we've not been doing it that way for the last 20 years, it isn't an excuse to just cast it out and say we can't do that. If we want to make a difference, we're probably going to have to be different. Not outside God's law. Maybe different from what we've been doing in the past. As individuals and as a group, we need to be willing to just follow the commands of God wherever they lead us. Each of us has a responsibility to God to live according to His will. If you look tonight and find things in your life that are amiss, we urge you to correct. Pray to God and ask Him to forgive. We know that if we're His child, we pray and ask Him for forgiveness, we turn from the wickedness that we were doing, He'll forgive us. Like it away as if it has never been. We can be right with Him again. We're not a child of God. Never obeyed Him. Never been buried in baptism in order to receive the forgiveness of your sins. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that He gave His life on the cross of Calvary so that your sins could be forgiven? Are you willing to confess that before men, not just verbally in front of men, but for the remainder of your life, live a life that confesses Christ and how you conduct yourself? Then you can be buried in baptism and have your sins washed away. If you're willing to turn away from those sins and give your life fully over to the Lord, you've counted the cost and recognize that that is just the first step of living a life of serving God in everything you do. We can assist time and opportunity as yours. Won't you come and stand and sing for your prayer?